You're listening to episode 16 of the Christian Research Journal Reads podcast. This podcast provides you with audio versions of Christian Research Journal articles. The full text, along with all the documentation from the article, is available at equip.org. That's EQUIP.org. This film review contains spoilers for the film Dune Part 2. Dune Part 2 film review, We're All Mad Down Here, Religious Fundamentalism in Dune Part 2, by Cole Brigette. This review was published March 13, 2024. This article is being read by Melanie Cogdill. Dune Part 2, written and directed by Denis Villeneuve, Warner Brothers Pictures, 2024, rated PG-13. I grew up in the kind of religious fundamentalism that could redefine most people's definition of religious fundamentalism. I don't mean I grew up in a cult. No, that would have been too easy. Hippies in search of a drug-induced trip that would bring them closer to God while standing outside in empty fields looking for UFOs might set off some bells in the heads of other saner folks. No, I grew up surrounded by seemingly normal people with strong work ethics and family values. They had steady jobs, well, most of them. I attended at first regular old public school, and we took vacations like everyone else. But that normalcy was a quaint little veneer behind which hid breakfast table conversations that contained matter-of-fact statements like, quote, the Antichrist will be Catholic because that good old King James Bible said that he would be cat-like. And what are the first three letters of the word Catholic? Can't beat that with a stick. Or, the rule is, unless Whitey shows the black man how to play the piano, the tuba, the trombone, the banjo, the saxophone, the clarinet, and the trumpet, he stays squatted in front of a hollow log. End quote. Paradoxes abounded. Television seemed to play without ceasing, but statements like, quote, the devil lies in that box, end quote, often accompanied anything that wasn't a pre-1970 Western or didn't star Clint Eastwood. Double standards were the standard, constantly fluctuating to accommodate the next ludicrous religious idea that took the household by storm, like how practically overnight all music, but especially country music, became, quote, of the devil, end quote, with the exception of the Beatles. Look, I have an axe to grind here, but I should say up front that I'm a happy fundamentalist. I maintain strong convictions about the most fundamental components of the Christian faith, as I believe the apostles did and encouraged the members of the church to do. See 2 Thessalonians 2:15. Yet, I have come to recognize that specific facets of my upbringing, though largely normal, quote, on the outside, end quote, are curious oddities at best, and tragic lapses of judgment and common sense at worst. Which is why watching Dune Part 2 2024, as the seconds turned into minutes, and the minutes dissolved into hours, and there were long panoramic sweeping shots of desert vistas accompanied by shrieking choral arrangements courtesy of Hans Zimmer, I found myself more and more, let's say, perturbed, because anything else would be too strong a word. Not so subtle. Dune Part 2 is ultimately a film about religious fundamentalism, and subtlety, thy name is not Denis Villeneuve. Most religious critics will pick up on this rather quickly. Brett McCracken over at the Gospel Coalition compared Paul Atreides' story to that of other popular messianic figures to conclude that, quote, Dune 2 feels like an artifact of a post-Christian age, end quote, which should come as a surprise to absolutely no one who has actually read Frank Herbert's original books. Herbert himself said, quote, I had this theory that superheroes were disastrous for humans, that even if you postulated an infallible hero, the things this hero set in motion fell into the hands of fallible mortals, end quote. Villeneuve, who directed both Dune Part 2 and its predecessor, said of the story, quote, it's not a celebration of a savior. It's a criticism of the idea of a savior, of someone that will come and tell another population how to be, what to believe. It's not a condemnation, but a criticism, end quote. So, considering that both Dune 2021 and now the sequel are faithful to Herbert's distinct vision, these films are not so much artifacts of a, quote, post-Christian age, end quote, than they are close adaptations of a particularly secular flavor of religious skepticism from around the mid to late 20th century, one that paints with the most basic of colors containing shockingly few hues. In short, Dune Part 2 sees anything that even remotely resembles religious devotion as being either the manifestation of a chronically oppressed and desperate, that is, brainwashed population, or a mask worn by the puppeteers who pull the strings manipulating said population's convictions to bring about their own ends. Is Paul Atreides, Timothy Chalamet, a legitimate and long prophesied Messiah figure called Lisan al-Ghaib? Well, it doesn't really matter in the end. The Fremen, and in particular Stilgard, played by Javier Bardem, believe that he is, providing Lady Jessica, played by Rebecca Ferguson, and the other members of the Bene Gesserit order with a religious conviction to amplify, expand, and manipulate toward their own ends. Religious devotion is here played as fundamentalism. Just count the number of times someone refers to the, quote, fundamentalist groups, end quote, in the film. It's like the film would have us believe that said fundamentalists are an extreme element of the Fremen, splinter groups united by their militant devotion to a prophesied messianic figure. This would make more sense. Yet viewers are never really afforded the opportunity to meet just a regular old follower of the Zen Sunni belief system, the official name for the Fremen religion, based on a blending of the beliefs of the Sunni Islamic branch and the Zen Buddhist ideas. And of course, by film's end, the different Fremen tribes have united under Paul's banner, literally, to exact revenge against House Harkonnen and the Padishah Emperor Shaddam IV, played by Christopher Walken. In other words, if one were to meet Christians in the way that Paul Atreides meets Fremen in Dune and Dune Part 2, then every Christian would have a touch of Ruckmanism to them, borderline militant in their religious devotion, isolationist, and yes, a little brainwashed to believe things about their faith without necessarily having a strong faith in and of itself. This is the kind of thing I myself had to be rescued from, but stand today as a testament to the fact that one can, in fact, be rescued from it. Not everyone who adheres to a religious idea automatically becomes radicalized in their beliefs and, quote, fundamentalist, end quote, and is not necessarily a, quote, bad word, end quote. Yet Dune Part 2 seems to disagree with that assertion. Now, maybe it seems like I'm reading a little too far here, but the whole point of this story, according to the man who made both films, is, quote, a criticism of the idea of a savior, end quote. If that is the case, then at least the film could do is present some balance to the equation. And no, I don't mean through Chani, played by Zendaya, who sleeps with Paul and flirts with the messianic ideas, but is never taken in by the Fremen's religious fervor. If anything, she seems more atheistic in her outlook on religion than anything else. The Call to Endure. Once again, this film is nowhere near as subtle as it thinks it is. The religious adherents are all fundamentalists of the worst kind, and the only one who manages to see through the delusion is the one who throws the baby out with the bathwater and walks away from it all. What the film sorely misses is nuance. A Fremen or faction of the Fremen who see Paul for who he is, who sees the strings being pulled by the Bene Gesserit, who do not feel the need to go to war against the Harkonnen because they understand that there will always be someone in power and that someone will be flawed, who somehow managed to hold their religious convictions firmly in fist without seeing a need to swing it with enough force to injure. In short, Fremen who simply endure the suffering. You know, like Paul pleads with Timothy to do in 2 Timothy 4:5, as Peter encourages the Jewish Christians in the diaspora to do in 1 Peter 2:20, as Jesus himself tells his disciples to do, even as he does it himself, John 16:33. But that would not gel with the way the high and holy Herbert views messianic figures or those who follow them. It simply would not do to represent the average person who relies on their religious convictions to get them through each day, who isn't some Bible-thumping stick-in-the-mud who believes that Donald Trump is the fourth person of the Trinity. I know, Trump and Herbert are separated by time and space, but the ideas at play can be cross-pollinated. Watching Dune Part 2 felt a bit like listening to that, quote, enlightened, end quote, friend talk about why they know better than you and everyone else about religion, or reading a Reddit post from an overly zealous keyboard warrior who has a couple of degrees in some she-sounding field, let's go with social cultural anthropology, explaining to all the other peons why religion is ultimately detrimental to society as a whole, in an argument that basically boils down to, quote, if you believe in God, you're stupid and make other people stupid, end quote. But to say it that way sounds, God forbid, offensive to the people they're offending, so they just say it in a more convoluted and pedantic way, using $15 words that even someone with a bachelor's degree has to sound out. Now wait, I hear you say, is it really that bad? Yes, it is. Thematically and philosophically. As a film, though, it's pretty good. Big, bombastic action scenes and jaw-dropping special effects, a rollicking soundtrack by the always great Hans Zimmer, minus the ever-present screeching choir, and reliable performances from some of the best actors working in Hollywood today. It's thrilling and emotional in the way epics are emotionally resonant, but it understands exactly what kind of story Herbert is set out to tell. And to Villeneuve's credit, he has a huge amount of respect and an intricate understanding of the source material such that he adapts it with an almost religious reverence for what Herbert wrote. Ironic, isn't it? Yet I can't imagine this will be a film that I will watch again anytime soon. Dune Part 2 is a bit like someone who never drinks diet soda taking a drink of diet soda. It's the aftertaste that gets you, and it seems to have that Avatar 2009 quality to it, the kind of film that makes a splash right when it comes out and demands to be seen on the biggest screen possible because it genuinely is breathtaking cinema, but then fades from everyday conversation until advertisements for the next sequel begin to drop, because people go back to their normal lives and realize the film is nowhere near as transgressive as it tries to be. That, however, is through no fault of Villeneuve or the production team. All they are doing is adapting what is on the page in front of them. The problems begin with the source material. Thank you for listening to the Christian Research Journal Reads podcast. You won't want to miss out on the other podcasts from the Christian Research Institute. Please subscribe to the Hank Unplugged podcast, where CRI president and host of the Bible Answer Man broadcast, Hank Antigraph, takes you out of the studio and into his study to engage in free-flowing, essential Christian conversations on critical issues with some of the most interesting, informative, and inspirational people on the planet. On the Bible Answer Man broadcast, Hank Antigraph answers questions from listeners every weekday, and you can catch a Best of the Bible Answer Man on Saturdays. In addition, you won't want to miss out on all new articles and author conversations and interviews on the Postmodern Realities podcast, which features new articles from the Christian Research Journal and conversation with those articles' authors. So please explore our website at equip.org. and thank you for connecting to the Christian Research Institute.